Hello.
Welcome back to the fishbowl.
Yes. Oh, did some video stuff already. Oh my gosh. We are never going to get past these technical difficulties. We might just have to stick to audio only.
Well, welcome back to the fishbowl. For those of you who are new to the channel, I know we have got some new subscribers. My name is Karina Cortez. This is my colleague, Melanie Trevino, and we are professional counselors, but we are not here to counsel you. We are here. Our mission here is to demystify mental health and
fight to end stigma. So, and the only way we can do that is by providing education and awareness, and that's pretty much what we're here to do.
So tonight we are talking about sleep. So have you gone to your doctor or to see your therapist? And one of the questions that they typically always ask is, how are you sleeping? What's your sleep patterns been like over the last week, 2 weeks? So really important question. And so that's what we're going to break down today. Talk about some sleep hygiene.
Yes.
And things you can do to help you get a good night's sleep.
Definitely. So for those of you who, like me, want to know the why of why? Like, yes, I know we're supposed to get a good night's sleep. What does that even look like for some people? Why is sleep less important or more important for others? That type of thing. So I did a little digging, and on the NIH, which is the National Institutes of Health website, I was able to find some information about understanding sleep and sort of the basics as far as how it affects your brain. And ironically enough, in another platform that I've been working on, I actually found some information about why sleep is important for dieting too. So since we are all in this quarantine 15, have you heard that? Instead of the freshman 15, you have now quarantine 15. So, and this of course is due to the lowered, basically lower interaction, lower physical activity, having to socially distance, stay home. For some people, that means just less movement overall. So, and unfortunately that also impacts sleep and it impacts your diet as well. So we will cover some of those things tonight, and we are so glad that you are tuning in. And those of you who are joining us live on Facebook, feel free to ask any questions. We will try to answer them as we go along. Might take a little bit of a delay, but we will get to it for sure. So, on the NIH website, there's a lot of technical sciencey stuff that I was just like, how can I make this sound like a little bit easier to digest, right? So we all know that sleep is a very important part of our overall general functioning. We spend probably, most people spend about a third of their lifetime sleeping, believe it or not. And so quality sleep and getting enough quality sleep is definitely something that we don't get enough of. Getting enough quality sleep, not many of us are getting it, especially right now during this pandemic. So, it has a number of importance factors to brain function. Sorry, I got all tongue-tied.
So she hasn't slept. Okay. I make sure that I'm in bed. Don't call me at 9 o'clock.
A primary example of why sleep is important for you, because brain is like, and I have my notes right here in front of me.
Yeah.
So you still get tripping over my
words. You get brain fog.
Yes. So everyone needs sleep. So I'm going to just read it. Okay. But it's important to a number of brain functions, including how your nerve cells or neurons communicate with each other. And those of you in mental health know that neurotransmitters play an important part in overall mood.
Yeah, I feel like it's something healthy, like something beneficial to learn, because this is something that we naturally do and it seems so passive, but we don't fully understand why it is extremely important and why we keep asking the question, how are you sleeping? And
yeah. And so we all hear it. And I think it's important to kind of know why. Why are we hearing it? And why is it important? So
our moms would say, go to bed. You need to go to sleep.
Yeah. But no, but I just want to stay up 10 more minutes. Yeah. No.
So now we're going to tell you why.
Why those 10 minutes matter. So everyone needs sleep. But sleep ultimately affects pretty much every function in tissue and in system in your body. So from your brain, your heart, lungs, metabolism, beep, beep, immune function, mood, beep, beep, and disease resistance. So a chronic lack of sleep or poor sleep quality actually increases your risk for cardiovascular disease, diabetes, depression, and obesity. So that is why, for those of you who aren't familiar, oftentimes in the mental health area or arena, we really try to focus a little bit on some physical health aspects, because we see time and time again, unfortunately, that all of those things are kind of linked to the people that we work
with. There's a big correlation, and it's, and you're one whole person, so you're the whole human, so we want to treat the whole human. We want to make sure that your physical health is met, your mental health needs are met, and any other like just your basic needs in general, like those are really important areas to look at for overall healthy functioning.
Yes, indeed. So why do you need 8 hours at least?
Well, for me, I won't get up. Like internally, subconsciously, like I just won't get up. Like I, my, even if my alarm's going off, my body will be like, girl, you didn't sleep no 8 hours, like stay asleep.
And I can just imagine the little internal dialogue you're having right now too, when you're asleep.
Girl, you know you didn't sleep no 8 hours. Stay in bed. Yes. So I will stay in bed, but I know that about myself. So I make sure that I go to bed at a decent hour. I have a little, like the smartphones are really great, because you can, like I have, it'll go off at 10 o'clock. It's going to go off because it's going to say, I need my 8 hours of sleep. So it kind of cues me what time to go to bed. So 10:05, I think it is my time if I'm getting up at like 7 or something like that.
Okay. Well, actually, there's not really like a whole deep science about why you need at least 8 hours that I have read. But from what I've gathered, I can see why 8 hours is suggested. So REM sleep is the first cycle of sleep that you enter into, which is rapid eye movement sleep. It's the one where you're kind of bordering between being awake and being asleep. Did you know that a full cycle of REM takes at least 90 minutes?
Okay.
So there is an hour and a half right there. Okay. So you enter in and out of the different stages of sleep all throughout the night, right? There are four stages of sleep in addition to REM. So in the first stage of non-REM sleep, that's when you're starting to really sink into that deeper sleep. And according to this study, that is a short period where there's a short period that lasts several minutes in between that change, where your heartbeat, your breathing, your eye movements slow down, your muscles relax, and your brain waves actually begin to slow down from their daytime wakefulness patterns as well, right? So there's no like timeline on this, but when you get to the second stage of non-REM sleep, this is where your breathing becomes deeper and slower. Your body temperature drops, right? And
so it's
your
usually about the time I'm reaching for the covers.
Yeah. So your eye movements actually stop by this point, right?
And I don't know why that sounds like it's scary to me.
Well,
it sounds like a scary movie.
Okay, seriously, like Have you ever seen REM sleep though? Like when your baby falls asleep and you're looking and your eyes are twitching. Okay, so they're like in that middle stage. That's why every little noise or every sound can like wake them up, like mm-hmm. with the quickness, right? So once they move past that and the eye movements really stop, then you start to spend more time in this deeper form of sleep where your brainwave activity slows down, but you get these brief bursts of electrical activity. And so this is like your neurons firing and activating different parts of your brain. So you spend a lot more of your repeated sleep cycles in between REM and stage two of non-REM sleep than in any of the other stages, right? The next stage of non-REM sleep is a sleep that is so deep that this is the kind of sleep that you have to actually feel refreshed and to feel like rested by the time that you wake up in the morning. It also occurs in longer periods of time during the first half of the night. Your heartbeat and your breathing slow to their lowest levels and your muscles are relaxed and it may be difficult to wake you up. So this is the you shake and not waking, right? So this is where your brain waves actually become even slower. So during this time is when your body is truly actually relaxing and releasing the stress of the day and trying to rejuvenate itself. And we all know that your body spends a lot of time trying to rejuvenate itself during sleep.
Dude, that sounds amazing.
Right?
Like your body is an amazing little vessel. It's an amazing
thing. Like there's so many complicated parts. And just in the brain by itself, like the brain is so small and so complex. And it's responsible for so many things that actually make us human. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
So, okay. So what I didn't understand was why it said like four sleep cycles, but it's because you go back to REM sleep once you're done. So you venture through kind of like the wave, right?
So it's like your brain just shutting off
yes.
all the little lights from the yes. day.
Exactly. It's like traveling through the hallways of your body. Mm-hmm. If you imagine from your feet all the way up, just say,
turn the lights off.
Good
get
night.
To bed.
Good night. Good night.
No, you can't have no water. No, you're not hungry.
So when your body actually cycles mm-hmm. through this, you get back to REM sleep again, right? And REM is important because this is the period of time where your brain is actually closer to wakefulness. So your breathing is faster, your heartbeat's more regular. Your blood pressure actually increases at this time so that it's getting your body ready to kind of get to that stage of wakefulness, right? REM sleep is also when you dream. And for those individuals who are sort of sleep deprived, I think at minimum you need at least 3 hours. And that's because you need a full cycle of REM. So that means you need to start with REM and come back with REM. So those two cycles alone are 90 minutes. So that's the science of that. So if you're spending at least 3 hours in REM, then the other, 4 or 5 recommended hours is cycling through each stage of deeper sleep. So, yeah. That's a lot.
So, yeah, that's good information to definitely have. But let me give you some tips on how to get to bed. Okay. Now we have these things, right? Our little phones. And we got TikTok, my favorite little TikTok.
Oh, dear.
So if you're like me, I end my night with some good, funny TikToks. But I have to give myself at least 30 minutes like of nothingness for my brain to shut down.
There's a reason for that.
It needs to compute. It needs to say boop boop beep boop beep boop. Queen is going to bed and go ahead and shut itself off so that I could go to bed. So let me give you some tips for going to sleep, getting a good night's sleep, right? Try and stick to a schedule. Get as routine as possible. Use your phone. I mean, they have these features built into your phones. So set yourself a timer it's an alarm, but it tells you, hey, getting ready for bed, and it'll alert you, and that's your cue to go to bed. So use that as a behavioral activation to help you. Exercise 20 to 30 minutes a day.
That means cue, for those of you who don't know the technical term of behavioral activation.
Yes,
it's a cue. It's a physical cue.
Exercise 20 to 30 minutes, but no more than a few hours before you're going to bed, because it may rev you up. Avoid alcohol and nicotine. Mm-hmm. Okay. And alcoholic drinks. Oh, I think I said that. Sorry.
Caffeine. Avoid caffeine before bed.
Relax before bed. Take a warm bath. Reading. Do something kind of boring. Right? If you can't sleep, don't just lie there. Give yourself at least 30 minutes and then get up and then do something boring. You know, so
do something boring while you're asleep.
Get up, read a boring book, watch a boring movie. And they also have these podcasts.
Podcasts are not boring. I'm sorry.
No. The guy made a whole podcast. He made a whole podcast on boringness, and everything he does is extremely boring, but it's to bore you to go to bed.
That's too funny.
That's too many bores. But I've listened to it, and it is quite boring, and I'll try and find it to include it in the link, because it's just really irrelevant information that he's going to share with you. Create a room for sleep. Avoid bright lights, loud sounds. Keep the room at a comfortable temperature. Don't watch TV or have a computer in your bedroom. And see a doctor if you have a problem sleeping or if you feel unusually tired during the day.
This is where I have a little insert there. So the reason you see your doctor to help you with sleep, a lot of the times, is because our genes, unfortunately, affect our sleep habits. It is genetic, and our genes play a big role in how much we actually need sleep. So this is why some people only need 5 hours. Some people need 9 to 12 hours. So it has to do with your genetic makeup. There's certain chromosomes apparently that increase our susceptibility to sleep disorder.
Yeah, I believe that.
So guess what else you need to see your doctor?
Sleep apnea.
Sleep apnea, narcolepsy, restless legs for those of you who might experience that. And also, because you can get a sleep study done, right? But your doctor has to prescribe that for you. And because apparently, this is what I forgot to mention earlier, so I'm sorry. We're going to go back to sleep hygiene again, because, you know, in the behavioral world, repetition is actually more helpful anyway. So, but circadian rhythms, have you heard that?
Yes.
Okay. What regulates your circadian rhythm? What hormone?
Oh, well, I don't know that.
What do most people take that's non-habit forming to sleep?
Oh, Oh my gosh.
It's not Melanie, but it's close.
Melatonin.
Yes, there you go. So melatonin is the hormone that's responsible
go to bed. Is it almost 10?
Yes. Oh, that's why.
It's 10:21. No wonder.
You're past your bedtime.
Yeah.
So melatonin is the hormone that affects your circadian rhythms. It also affects your daily fluctuations in body temperature, metabolism, and the release of certain hormones that affect your appetite. And there's this particular hormone that I believe is called ghrelin, that is indirectly affected when you're not getting or you don't have enough melatonin production. So that's why some people need supplements of melatonin. But when your circadian rhythms are out of whack, that means you're not sleeping, right? Which also indirectly affects your appetite and your metabolic rate. So ghrelin is a hormone that is responsible for telling you that your body that you're hungry. So what happens is when you're not sleeping, that means your melatonin hormone is not reproducing, right, and rejuvenating itself, but it also means that you lack some. So then your ghrelin levels overproduce, thereby making you hungrier. That's why individuals who often are diagnosed with narcolepsy eat a lot. That's something.
I have a teenager who stays up all night and eats a lot too. So I bet there's a correlation there.
That could be. That could be. So one also fun facts, which I didn't mention earlier, was during that whole 8 hours and 3 hours of REM, your body needs at least 2 hours to dream.
It's like a movie in your head.
Right? So it's kind of like, okay, so you need at least 2 hours of dreaming, even if you don't remember the dreams, right? Most often dreams are occurring during REM. You're yawning because you're tired. I know. And your dreams.
Because we're talking about all this sleep. It's making me sleepy.
Well, guess what? The good thing is that you can replay tomorrow is Saturday.
Hey, replay this podcast and it'll help you sleep.
It might. Are you trying to say that I'm boring?
No, not you. We.
As. That's why you brought up that boring guy. Huh? I get you. No, seriously though. Dreaming is healthy for you because dreaming is... although it's like exact like rationale or why we dream is not really known. It is believed that dreaming helps to regulate and process emotion. And that's why oftentimes our dreams are, they're brought on by the stress and anxiety that we feel through the day, through certain memories. And so like all of, that's our body's natural and our brain's really natural way to process everything that has happened to us healthily, which is why we need sleep.
Ladies and gentlemen, whenever you dream that your spouse is cheating and you want to get up and beat them,
don't do it. Just stay asleep. You're dreaming.
Yeah, so just tell yourself it's a mixture of something in the day.
No, not often, but I disagree with that because.
You ever hear about them? Yes. I had a dream that my boyfriend was cheating on me and I wanted to beat him or slap him.
Oh, like when you wake up because you're dreaming. Gotcha. Oh, yeah. I've had it happen to me personally, when I dream that I'm feeling a certain emotion and I wake up with that emotion. Yeah, so that may be why. Like if you dream that you're going to beat the bejesus out of somebody, mm-hmm. then you probably wake up pretty angry and want to fulfill that need to feel to release that emotion, I guess. So yeah. And people who suffer from stress or anxiety more are likely to have frightening dreams. Just FYI. And did you know that some people dream in color and some people dream in black and white? Mm-hmm. I had no idea about that. Yeah, I wonder why that is.
I learned some things today.
I know. Me too. Just reading all this information. So, also, as you age, you need less REM sleep. Do you know why that is? Because your memories are more concrete as you are older.
I'm going to stay wild.
You'll always be wild at heart.
Probably.
So, again, since we're on the subject, please, Karina, reiterate what we can do to help promote better sleep for ourselves.
Set a schedule.
Okay.
Exercise 20 to 30 minutes, but not right before bedtime.
Okay.
Avoid caffeine.
Okay. It looks like avoid what?
Alcohol. Create a room for sleep. Don't lie in bed awake. If you can't sleep, do something like reading or listening to music until you feel tired. Mm-hmm. And if these are, continue to be persistent for you, see a doctor.
Yes.
This is also a time like for reflection, like in the day, you know, like as your world winds down, your day winds down, use it as an opportunity to reflect on the day, to reflect on yourself, to kind of ask yourself, what is it that I want to do for the next day? What do I want to wear? You know, I mean, find something to just kind of
help
you be in the moment, but without the distraction. Like, just be with yourself in that quiet moment for a meditation. It's an opportunity to just kind of find yourself in some way and remember who you are and analyze those things and just be comfortable with just lying there in the moment and in peace. So
did you mention turn off your technology already?
I feel like it's just turn it off. I feel like we should know this, but
we should know this, but I discovered this recently because, you know, with being in front of a screen all the time, like I've been having more headaches, right? Well, that's because of the blue light stuff that is emitted from your technological gadgets. Well, guess what blue light affects?
Your sleep.
It affects your melatonin production. So, which affects your circadian rhythm, which means whether or not you're getting sleep. And for those of you who diet and exercise, right. So it also means that you're not doing that.
Although this is convenient, it's convenient to have technology. Like we're evolving in such a way that we're going to have to go, we need to kind of just take some steps back and find ourselves again and find our footing in that without these things as a distraction. So that we don't have problems later, because it, you know, the more that we do these things and create these habits for ourselves, it's going to be harder to break them. It's going to be harder to sleep. It's going to be harder to disconnect. And we really need to remember kind of ourselves as humans, like we're not programmed to do all this.
Yeah. And not only that, but I think you take away a little bit of like the socialization aspect when you're glued to a machine all day.
Right.
Like you're not communicating.
And it's a distraction.
Yeah. You're not communicating. Yeah. You're not feeling, because you are distracted by constantly wanting to be entertained.
Yeah. You're checked out. Yeah.
Yeah. You're just going through. And unfortunately, that is, I think, one of the reasons why so many people are having such a difficult time during this pandemic, because people who have lost their jobs or been affected and had to work from home, like you're just exposed to so many new stressors that you wouldn't be at the office. Right. And then, you know, on top of, you know, managing your household and making sure you can pay your bills and do all these things. And so it very easily becomes overwhelming and very easy to check out. And technology is one of the ways that we check out.
Yeah.
Right. So try to limit your use of technology if you're down for a no gadget challenge. So
yeah, we do no tech days at our house. So that's like Tuesdays and Thursdays. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll throw on a Sunday. But to teach all of us to disconnect from those things and to just be in touch with nature or present with each other is really important.
Yes, I definitely agree that it's good to kind of just take a step back and turn it off. And I too like to turn my ringers off, put my phone on do not disturb. And I really enjoy not having to pick up my phone every minute of the day on a weekend. Yes. Well, that being said, we are now going to disconnect ourselves from this technological platform so that we can wind down and get some sleep. So thank you for those of you who joined us, those of you who are listening. Please feel free to share your feedback. Leave us comments. If you're checking us out on Facebook, you can shoot us an email at demystifyingmentalhealth@gmail.com. You can catch us on Instagram too. Leave us some feedback. If you're listening on the podcast, I would love to get some like ratings and feedback just to see overall if you all are enjoying it, what you would like to see different. Like
what works and what doesn't work of what we're doing because to help us to grow.
Exactly. It helps us to grow and also helps us to deliver a better message so that you in turn can grow as well.
Yeah.
So everybody have a great night.
We challenge you to disconnect. Yes. I challenge you to have a really fun, safe Halloween.
Social distance Halloween. Yes. Oh, Karina, why didn't the skeleton go to the Halloween party?
Because he's a bag of bones.
No. Oh. He had nobody to go with. Get it? Nobody. Yes. Anyway, you all enjoy your night. Take care, and we'll see you again soon. La 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 la.